You are one of a few NHL players to kneel during the anthem. I watched your answer after during the post-game presser, you and Robin Lehner. But it's something where, man, even in a Zoom conference call, even in a reality where the media isn't there, you just finished playing a hockey game. You've got a lot of adrenaline flowing, and all of a sudden people are launching in questions to you that are really important. Is there anything else that you wanted to say after reflecting and taking some time to yourself? Or are you kind of at the point where you do want to demonstrate, but you want it to be personal and you kind of want the media to stay out of it more? Like, how do you want this handled for you personally moving forward?
Well, I think, I did it because, in hockey, there's not a lot of people that are gonna do that. And the conversation needs to be started in hockey. And I think, the whole point of the kneeling is, the kneeling isn't gonna, directly incite the change, but it's gonna start the conversation for change. Me and Lenny had a conversation and thought that, we were two good two people that could start that conversation up. So, moving forward, me and Lenny and other guys are gonna start talking about what we can do to help out with this movement. For sure, it's gonna be a little tougher when you're stuck in a bubble. But you better believe that it's not just, I'm gonna take a knee and then I'm done with it. There's gotta be some wheels that are put in motion after that.
Yeah, it was great to see Robin Lehner involved, and then the conversation with the media afterwards, and then Tyler Seguin on the other side. You guys obviously had a conversation, and you were on record before the game as having that conversation. Apparently not the case with Matt Dumba, who again raised his fist during the anthem yesterday, and the Wild have said that, yeah, no, we haven't discussed it. We've talked about eliminating racism, but there's been no discussion about anybody joining with him. Do you think communication about the protest that you're going to do on that day is important, especially with your teammates, and that you can even reach across the aisle to the opposition? And do you find that a little bizarre that the Wild have not really communicated with Dumba about what he's doing?
I mean, I was in communication with my teammates and the right people within the organization. I can't speak for what happened with Dums. I didn't really know that any of that was going on. I don't know what kind of communication, and hey, there could have been, and maybe they're just not telling me. But I can't speak for what happened with Dums for sure.
So, you mentioned that it's hard to incite change when you're in a bubble, but so much of this is just about talking, right? And taking people outside of their comfort zone. And I do wonder whether or not actually being in a bubble environment where guys are together constantly and you are seeing players from other teams, if it actually is more conducive to starting conversations, if it's easier for guys to be able to actually sit down, have a one-on-one and talk. You mentioned that, you're talking with your teammates that you and Leonard decided to make this decision. Have you found that other guys have been coming up to you? Again, I'm not asking you to name names, but have you found that you have been talking more with guys around the league about issues regarding race than you had before?
Yeah, I mean, and I think just overall because the conversation's been started since the George Floyd incident. I think conversation has been started, and for sure, after that happened a couple of days ago, I talked to a couple of teammates, guys that I've never talked to about race before. We've had quick conversations. A couple of guys, most guys have come up and said, we support what you're doing, and we believe in what you're doing. There's definitely been some backlash too, and I knew that was going to come with the territory. A lot of people obviously not happy with the military aspect of it, but I think I tried to make it very clear that in no way do I disrespect the military. I have nothing but the utmost respect for all that, for all that they do for this country. But this was a decision that I made for change in a different area, and I think it was just something that was necessary to start the conversation within the NHL.
Yeah, I think that we're at least getting to a point where people are not making that confusion, that they're not drawing those lines between kneeling and the military. I think that there's going to be a crowd of people that always do, but again, it's people who aren't really listening. But you know, the reason I kind of bring that up just about conversations amongst teammates and players is that I remember we talked to Devontae Smith-Pelly when he decided to skip the White House, and he didn't want to go, and he said, frankly, that a lot of his teammates didn't get it. And he didn't really elaborate on that, about kind of what that meant. I think it was only Holtby that actually joined him in not going to the White House. Maybe I'm forgetting somebody else, but just that, yeah, he was a little disappointed, and that was the quote, that his teammates didn't get it. Do you feel like there are a lot of guys that are actually opening up their eyes a little bit and understanding a little bit more as to what it means to be not just a black person in North America, but also just a black player in the NHL, a league that is predominantly white?
Well, I think with all the conversations that have been started, I think guys are starting to open their eyes a little bit. But look, I can't expect a white guy to understand what a black guy has gone through in their life, you know, in regards to racism, because let's be honest, white people don't go through racism. It's just not part of their life. So I'm not going to sit here and, you know, I can't sit there and say, you know, it sucks because you don't get it. Well, you don't get it because you haven't lived it. And it's tough for you to understand something you haven't lived. So I don't hold that against anybody. I think it's good that the conversations are starting so people can start to learn and start to somewhat get it. But, you know, it's very hard to expect them to understand that, because it's never happened
firsthand. Talking to Ryan Reeves, and yeah, we've all been impressed with what you've done and the conversations you've had after these peaceful protests, and I expect, obviously, for that to continue for you. You don't have a game today. You guys have a game tomorrow. You played one. You played three of these seeding games. You've seen games with actual stakes played as well. What is it like to play in these games where, yeah, sure, you want to win them and you guys are 1-0, sure, let's win all three, but yeah, the stakes can't be the same as, you know, a five-game series, and if you lose it, you're out of the bubble. What's it been like to play in these games?
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, you guys all keep saying, yeah, you know, you want to win, but you don't. Well, no, we want to win. You know, it's just like fighting for the first place seed in at the end of the regular season. You know, those games matter because you're playing the lower seed. So, yeah, while it's not the same repercussions, the loss isn't the same repercussions as, you know, getting kicked out of the bubble, well, it's still, you know, we want to win the Stanley Cup and we want the easiest route there. So these games definitely matter. And, you know, our games have been intense. I think you know, we've treated them like a playoff game, and I expect us to continue to do so.
Yeah, and well, I think that the reason we do it, though, is that because there's so much parity in the NHL that if you just look across the league, I know that there are some groups that are in there that shouldn't be in the playoffs. Like, we have the 24th rated team. That's not a normal year. So yeah, if you're higher, there is the potential to face one of those groups, but that also means that they beat somebody that is deserving, and again, that speaks to the parity in the league. So you guys are battling, and I believe you when you say that you are treating these like seeding games, but ultimately, the move forward, if you really want to have a competitive advantage as the top teams, is to take luck out of the equation entirely. Would you be down as a player if they let you guys pick your opponent moving forward? Like, if part of the new playoff format was, okay, Golden Knights, you finished first in the West, you get first pick to see who you play in the first round.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say I'd be opposed to that. I don't know if it would be the fairest way to do it, but yeah, best believe if we finished first, I would never say no to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would you pick
and
now?
Who would you pick? Yeah.
Who would you pick?
Who would I pick?
Yeah.
Wow, he's a good answer.
Probably the most physical team. I'd have to look, but probably the most physical team.
That's so too bad.
That seems to fire me up a little bit. I don't like the sleepers where nobody likes to chirp and nobody gets in your face. I like the, you know, I like guys getting in my face and trying to fight back, and that kind of fires me up a little bit more.
Yeah, you know what? That brings me to my next question, because obviously, and we talked actually about this, and you specifically in that cup run, how important you were to that team. But we've seen in some of these playoff games, the play-in games with no fans, that the tough guys, the physical guys, have taken it upon themselves to maybe give some of these games extra juice, especially early, and it's really helped. Do you think, like, guys that play your style of hockey are even more important when you're talking about an atmosphere that is not exactly going to geek you up because there's no fans?
Well, that's kind of like a different perspective than most people would have. I would think that you know, a lot of people would say the tough guys, the guys who draw the energy for the crowd, don't really have a role anymore. So it's a, that's, I like your perspective better, but no,
is it
I don't know if that has anything to do with the crowd. I don't know if it has anything to do with the crowd. I think it has to do with the situation. I think, you know, you're in a weird atmosphere with no fans, and I think you more want to fire up your bench than anything because there is no fans. So, yeah, for sure. I think we have a big role to keep the boys energized and make sure that our game isn't slipping because the atmosphere has changed a little bit. I look at it like that.
Yeah, no, that's the way we did too. And again, we're looking at it through a very weird perspective because we follow the team most closely that is arguably the least physical team in the entire NHL in the Toronto Maple Leafs. But they have one guy who does that in Kyle Clifford. They only played him 3 minutes in the first game and they got hammered for a lack of intensity. And game two, it starts with Kyle Clifford absolutely burying somebody, forcing him off the ice with a massive hit. And, yeah, the game felt a little bit more intense. It felt like the team was, yeah, a little bit more dialed in from the jump. And, of course, their backs were against the wall, so you can draw a lot of different conclusions to this. But it was hard not to notice the impact that he had in that game at the very beginning of that game. And so, no, I understand what the argument would be about firing up a crowd, but ultimately it's about firing up your bench. And if, yeah, if somebody fights right away or somebody lays a big hit right away, I can't imagine that that doesn't grab everybody's attention and then kind of focus you in a game where, yeah, you said it, there's really limited atmosphere.
For sure. And you know, not only just firing up your bench, but deflating the other bench. You know, yeah. Clifford goes and lays that guy out, and I saw that hit. It was a big hit. That guy looked hurt. And you best believe when it fires up your bench, it deflates the other bench too. And, you know, it's like, oh, man, this guy's coming today. You know, we might have just lost the key player. You know, it takes a toll on your bench when guys are running around like that and you don't really have an answer, you know, that you don't have a guy on the bench to answer to that. So, yeah, I mean, I think this role is very important in the playoffs.
So I don't know if you noticed, it seems pretty normal now, though, once the one lady threw the hats on the ice during Connor McDavid's hat trick. Now it actually feels just like a regular, normal can't even tell that the fans aren't there because there's hats ice during hat tricks.
Yeah, for sure. Normal day. Connor McDavid scored a hat trick in Edmonton and three hats at the ice. Normal day.
I loved that lady who had to run down and throw them on the ice. But one thing that we talked about a lot was, yeah, because, dude, you said it. You like to chirp. You like it when you get in people's faces and when they get in yours. And we were really worried about whether or not the NHL was going to lose a little bit of that because there was no fan sounds. And, you know, you don't play music during the game. We didn't really know how the pumped-in crowd noise was going to go in terms of what you'd be able to hear. But we really did think for some pretty long stretches as fans and media members that you were going to be able to hear a lot more of what the players were saying. And there were questions about how you're going to protect guys and whether it was the right thing to do and what the delay was going to be like. Have you noticed that guys are talking more to kind of try to pump you up for, like you said, to try to fire up your bench, that guys have been a little hesitant because they're not sure of what you can hear? Like, what's it like in terms of the perspective or from the perspective of a guy who likes to talk a lot of trash?
To be honest, when you're on the ice, you don't notice it as much as when you're sitting on the bench. I think when you're on the ice, the adrenaline's pumping enough that you're really just focused on the play. And if something, you know, if I start chirping somebody, I'm not really noticing that there's no crowd. Well, you know, maybe I shouldn't do that. Because, you know, I don't chirp guys to fire up the crowd. I think I chirp guys to get in their face and make them crumble and kind of make them scared a little bit. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of chirping in the Dallas game, but I don't know if you guys saw the exhibition game against Arizona, but there was a lot of that in that game. And that was, you know, that was just an exhibition game. And I don't know what you guys can really hear.
Nothing.
But if you can hear something, I'm sure you heard me.
Yeah.
The thing. We want to hear you.
Like, yes, we do.
We want to
swears and all. Yeah. And we, you know what? We're big boys. We want to hear everything. Yeah.
We know you don't want us to hear you.
I'm sure you do. I did see that they were putting it on like a 5-second delay. I don't know if they actually did that or not or how they're going about that, but I don't know how you could miss it. My voice carries pretty far, so
yeah, maybe just be a little louder. You know, next
yeah.
time. Just a little louder.
I'll yell tomorrow. Don't worry.
Yeah, like, trust me, it'll sell. It'll work, man.
Yeah, I can't wait. Ryan, this was great. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.